podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone and welcome to Sky Sports Fantasy Football from Fantasy Football Scout. I am Luke and with me as ever is Niall. It's game week 6 preview, the week after overhaul. How are you doing, Niall?
Terrible, actually. Yeah, probably one of the worst weeks I've had in fantasy football in memory. But the thing is, I've got no right to complain because yours was worse. So,
I know.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to be a lot of licking our wounds in this episode. But, you know, try not to get too downhearted this early in the season. But that was a really frustrating first week post-overhaul, especially after we spent so much time thinking about it and talking about it on the air.
Yeah, it really was. And it's hard to get yourself up for this sort of thing after such a dreadful week. I mean, I was like 350th or something at some point. Like, I think it was like game week 2, to be fair. I think it was about 1,000th going into overhaul. And obviously you spend a lot of time planning and then it sort of blows up in your face straight away. I mean, mine couldn't have gone more wrong. I know the arrow there on the screen is green. That's because I can't work out how to change it to red. Believe me, guys, it is very much a red. I'm down to 4,569. Which might be one of my lowest ranks I've ever had in Sky, to be honest, even from the start. No, I'm sure I've been lower than that. But the only way is up now, I guess. I'm going to have a brief rant and bring up my team as well, just so you guys can see what my thought process was. You know, obviously there were some errors made, but I don't think it could have gone quite as badly as it did. You can see there I'm on 39 out of 40 transfers now, because I did use one on Monday night because of our friend Calvert-Lewin deciding not to turn up and went to Richarlison. I'll get to that in a bit, though. So there's my team in front of you. Like I said before, Richarlison was actually Calvert-Lewin, and you can see my money in the bank at the top there. That was for Lukaku. So I've made the decision quite early on that Calvert-Lewin is the best captain for that Monday night, and it's obviously a detriment to your team because you're missing out on a premium. Like I said, I would have had Lukaku otherwise. I've got the exact money to get him. And I thought, who's going to be better over these 3 weeks? You know, they could match each other, but at the end of the day, Calvert-Lewin's got that captain day, and he's also got home to Everton in there. So his fixtures are better, and you could argue he's got the extra one if you captain the Burnley one. So I thought, that's worth a transfer. I'll keep that in. I don't really want Everton defence because I'm just not confident they'll be able to keep clean sheets, and I don't think they're long-term holds. So I didn't want that in my life, and I think that was kind of vindicated. Obviously Pickford goes and gets tier 2 saves bonus for people, so fair enough. Didn't want Demarai Gray because I don't really want to mess around with transfers at that level. I'm happy with the other midfielders I had, and I didn't want to have to transfer him out later. Now, some of my other midfielders you think I could maybe transfer him out later, like Rafinha possibly, but I think he's also potentially a season hold. I've got Traore in there, and Traore, although I feel like I will probably have to take him out at some point, I felt that he was like an 18-19 game week hold almost with the amount of really good fixtures Wolves have got. So I was happy to do that. And Torres is just someone has been non-negotiable for me. I just thought I'm just going to leave him in because he's Man City striker. So I felt like I had to sort of cover it with Calvert-Lewin. Obviously then he doesn't even turn up. I mean, that's ridiculous. I wasn't going to put him in my team if he was any even a slight doubt. But obviously we saw him in training for 3 days, everything. So that really destroyed me, really, and numerous others, I think, as well. But my main issue was basically using Antonio to cover either Ronaldo or Lukaku. And again, I wanted to be clever here. I wanted to not have Ronaldo and then have to transfer him out in 3 weeks, which is what I think most people are probably looking to do in Sky. Maybe they're not, but I kind of didn't want to book the transfer when I felt like the form Antonio's in and the fixtures he's got, he could maybe get close to Ronaldo. Now, I didn't think he was going to outscore Ronaldo at all. I thought Ronaldo was a shoo-in to get man of the match, score in the Newcastle game particularly. Don't really like his next two fixtures, but obviously he can still do good. And I thought if Ronaldo gets like 2 goals and Antonio gets like something, which, I mean, the form he's been in, who could argue that he would get something, right? I can sort of cover him a little bit. And as a result, with the money I've got left over, you know, I can then buff the rest of my team. I can have the best defenders. I can have Diaz, which worked out. I mean, the rest of my team was good. I have Mendy in goal. He did fantastic with the saves and clean sheet. Rudiger obviously got the clean sheet. I've got Diaz, who got a 10-pointer as usual. So I felt like the theory was there, but then Antonio goes and gets a red card and Ronaldo gets the brace. So the disparity there, I think, is 36 points. So that's just a 36-point hit. What makes that worse for me is Antonio is actually my only cover as captain for the Sunday upcoming. Really, I mean, I have got other Chelsea players, right? So I could captain Rudiger or someone like that away to Spurs. But in my mind, I thought, well, I'm going to captain Antonio home to Man United on the Sunday. I don't have Ronaldo or Lukaku. I don't really want to captain a Chelsea defender away. So let's ruin that as well. Calvert-Lewin then didn't play, so I kind of forced into a transfer. So it was all for nothing in the end anyway. heavily weighed up, Townsend, believe it or not, who then goes and gets a goal assist and man of the match. But again, I thought, I can't get Townsend because Richarlison's the obvious pick. He's up front, he's on penalties. That'd be me trying to be too clever. After the week I've had, I've just got to secure it, you know, and do that. I didn't really want to do it. I did it last minute. I wasn't sure it was going to work, but, you know, I can't really be too results orientated there. So in the end, a massive drop for my team. Obviously, the other things that happened for everyone, obviously, Antonio got the red. Anyone who's got him, a lot of people ignored him. Fair enough, he did well. You know, Torres did nothing. Traore got man of the match, fair enough. Rafinha didn't expect too much. Salah was the obvious captain. Christensen didn't play. I think there's a lot of questions about him, so that's kind of annoying, but I was kind of half expecting that one. And Webster, again, I'm not going to complain too much about that because I think, you know, virtually everyone's got that as well. So as far as first weeks go, aside from Salah captain versus Leeds, it couldn't have gone much worse, really. It was pretty awful. Sorry, I know I've just waffled for ages, but I wanted to give you guys some insight into my thinking, even if it turned out to be wrong. I just think it's a little harsh that Antonio to get a red card and everyone else's captain to get, you know, a brace and man of the match. There we go. Any thoughts, Niall, on that?
Oh, God. Yeah, no, it's a good thing I haven't had my dinner yet because it'll be coming back up. Listen to that. I'm sick for you. To be honest with you, I was feeling sorry for myself too after a pretty poor week. I've dropped from like 400 or 500 down to 1700, which doesn't sound that bad. But yeah, similarly to you, Christensen, obviously, I had Azpilicueta too. Didn't start. Came off the bench. Webster getting injured, you know, you can live with that a little bit, you know. Webster's highly owned, lots of people have him. You need an enabler, fair enough, you can move him on. I could live with that. Sunday wasn't great, obviously. A lot of the Liverpool assets did well. I had Salah as captain. Rafinha did nothing. I also had Torres, like you said, he did nothing. I had another midfielder, El Yunusi, just put in as a budget option, nothing. And then Bruno, so thankfully, on Saturday, I did have Ronaldo. So Ronaldo basically saved the whole weekend. Him, Mendy, and Salah were the only players that got anything of note, really, for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 87 points, I think, I finished on, which isn't a disaster. But the real kick in the teeth after a pretty bad weekend was last night, seeing that Calvert-Lewin, rumours spreading like wildfire throughout the day, you know, that he wasn't fully fit, you know, and then I watched the video that Everton posts and it's like, and the players have arrived, and I'm like, oh great, I'm sure Campbell's gonna be there, you know, he's gonna be on the bench at least. If he's on the bench, I can still captain him. And yeah, sure as hell that he was. Not on the bus, nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
And yeah, I justified it in my head that if Rafa, who I actually think Rafa's probably responsible for this whole thing, because there was that now not too subtle picture of DCL training last week with Godfrey, where they said, oh, Godfrey's back, and it just happened to be a photo of him next to Calvert-Lewin. And clearly he wasn't fit. And it looks like he's going to be out for a couple of weeks. So who knows? Maybe that was Rafa mind games. But he finally was honest before the game and said, well, hopefully he was somewhat honest and said that he wouldn't be back for a while. So made the leap to Richarlison. We all know how that went.
Painful.
Yeah, I feel like absolutely awful. And here we were pre-overhaul. I wouldn't say we were gloating, that's wrong, but we were definitely saying, oh, you know, look at the gains that are to be made if you really think about things and you listen to these podcasts and you know, you hear what we're saying. And here we are, after we're not looking good ourselves. But onwards and upwards. So yeah, I did waste the transfer on Richarlison, regrettably. But put it behind us and move on.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. Although I have, while I'm still kind of complaining about my team, I think Christensen's starting again tonight in the Champions League.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah.
And Thiago Silva isn't. So we've got questions on this to come. But yeah, overall, probably a 2 out of 10 first week back from the overhaul.
Yeah, you kind of just have to take it on the chin. I mean, Richarlison's still got one more game. I'm not optimistic about it. The money game was obviously the one against Burnley. You know, away to Villa, I don't expect too much, but you never know, they can surprise you sometimes. Yeah, just devastating really, because it's also the fact that the other options, like I say, Pickford and Damari Gray did fine. Now I don't begrudge anyone going Gray, but I really didn't like that pick for the reason I said, he's had 3 shots all season on target and they've all gone in. You know, I don't really like captain and midfielder whose general feedback is usually 2 points. You know, I think Rafinha is probably the only exception I've got to that, where I just couldn't have. I mean, again, I'd have had Bamford if I could, but I can't, so I basically have to use him. Other than that, it's usually these, you know, the 10-point centre backs or the strikers that I like to go for, just for that insurance. And, you know, the fact that he returned as well made it worse. If he'd have just got his 2 points to 4, I could have kind of lived with it a little bit. Then he get, I think he's like an 18-point haul or something, right? Or I don't know what it was, something like that, 16 maybe. I don't know if he got, actually he won't have got shots on target bonus, will he? So it would have been eight points, so. Yeah, so 16.
8 points, but still, double 16 is a big number.
Yeah. So successes, obviously, I mean, Diaz, I like that I went there to begin with. I know it's really early days. He's expensive. Obviously, Matip, etc. did just as well, so can't really say that. But Mendy, I'm really happy with. Surprised he got so many shots. Just happy to have him in my team. Yeah, it seemed, I might have underestimated Wolves' defence a little bit. I mean, I didn't expect... I wasn't so sure that they'd get any attacking returns or any else to accompany the odd clean sheet that they might get. But Marcel and stuff are so cheap, and when I actually looked at him properly, and although he's injury prone, he's actually got tackle tier on 3 of the 4 weeks now as well to go with it. So... if you've got a defender that cheap, you know, like always, I always look for my tiers, you know, bonus points, and he's getting it. Now, I know tackles isn't as secure, but that suddenly heightens it to me. So he might be one I'm looking at, and we'll get to that in the questions with what to do with Webster. I think with Webster, we still haven't got any information at this point. So the fact that it was sort of widely reported that it's a hamstring, that suggests he's going to be out for a while. Plus, Potter and injuries... for me in the past has just been horrific. You know, Lamptey's a perfect example. You know, he always seems to be teetering on the edge of coming back but never quite makes it, and I don't really want that situation. But yeah, there's, you know, aside from just going grey over Calvert-Lewin and just having Lukaku from the start, I was never going to have Ronaldo. So there we go, ended up with 60 points. So even though you had a bad week, it's like, what, 30, how many points did you get, sorry, 36 or something?
87.
Okay, so yeah, there we go, 27 less and people have done much well. But The positive is very, very early on, and, you know, still got 39 out of 40 transfers. The funny thing is now my B team is now ahead of my A team by quite a lot, and I was kind of messing around with my B team. But listen to this. So when your week's going terribly, in my B team I didn't have any Leeds coverage, right? So on the first day when Webster got injured, and I've got the three premiums in the B team, that's why I was doing well, basically the Lukaku, Ronaldo, Kane. I've got all the money to go to all of them. And I didn't have any leads. I thought, I'm going to decide on Friday whether I want leads. I'm just going to not think about it. I just didn't want to give the brain space to that team, basically. So Webster gets injured, and I think, oh, do you know what? I can bring in Llorente versus Liverpool, because then that covers me. I don't want for the game on Friday night. So when things are going bad, Christ alive, I bring in Llorente. I know he's injury prone, but to see him hobble off after 30 minutes, it's like, that's another transfer down in that B team. It's not been good. Anyway, I'm going to stop moaning. Should we get to the questions now for what the people have come to listen to?
Yes, please.
Let's do it. Okay. So thanks for the replies, guys. Hopefully, you know, if you're not on Twitter, follow Fantasy Football Scout. I often retweet it, so does Niall. Get your questions in there. And as we move forward, obviously not every week there's going to be big talking points. This week there's quite a few, because obviously we had quite a few injuries and stuff. Generally, we like to plan for a long time. On that note, I actually got a DM from someone going, I've been loving all the pods, I've been loving it, but you guys keep talking about saving your transfers and not using them. What are you saving for? And I responded going, trust me, you'll see, like, injuries happen all the time, stuff happens. You know, we talk about saving them because these things happen. He's like, oh, okay. And then here we go, week one, like, red cards, injuries, players dropped. It's like, doesn't matter what you do, it always hits you that way. Anyway.
Welcome.
Yeah, exactly. First question from Reasons Unknown. So he says, I had zero transfers planned till the 2nd of November earliest, but Antonio and Christensen are now two issues. Is it knee-jerk to use two transfers now, or do nought is best? So do you think those are issues, first of all?
Yes. Yeah, I think, well, Antonio I think is an issue, personally. The problem you've got with Antonio is he doesn't play again until the next Sunday, am I right in thinking? So he's obviously, he doesn't play this week, and then his game after that is on the Sunday.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to be missing two games from potentially, if you've got the budget, a premium striker. Now, I don't know what his team's situation is, but if...
He plays on the Saturday, He plays on the Saturday in game week 7. So he just misses Man United and plays Saturday.
Yeah. He misses Man United, of course. Okay. So... just missing one game, so it's not too bad. But I would say reflecting on this weekend from my team's point of view, I think it was a clear argument for why having enough budget to have the big three strikers is where I want to be going now. I don't fancy hiding behind the sofa every time Lukaku plays.
Mm.
And if he has an opportunity to bring in whichever one of those big three that he's not got, and if he's got the budget to do it, like, I think it's probably a good time. I really do.
Okay.
I don't know. I think you hold an opposing view. I just think that personally, I'd left enough budget in there to go from DCL to Lukaku, just in case he scared me and
yeah. He's
absolutely put the fear in me. And I think I'm just going to bring him in this Sunday. So yeah, that's my perspective. There's definitely merit in holding Antonio. You might want him later down the line, but if you have the budget to put him up to a premium, I would do that this week.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I mean, I did the two strategies, the old split into the B team. The B team's got all the money in the world. I can literally go Kane, Ronaldo, and who's the other one? Salah, all at the top price. I made sure I could do that, and already it's ahead, so I might have to switch to my main focus to being that one. I still like the two premium strikers, as long as you can have a Kane and Salah, so there's enough money for that. And your third one goes up to Calvert-Lewin at 10. I think that's good because you can benefit from having that extra really good defender usually, or something that can actually work for you. I don't know if that's terrible. The problem we've got now is obviously that Calvert-Lewin's suddenly got injured, Antonio's got suspended, and then Bamford, Leeds look like they're out of form. There's even noise today he might have pinged his hamstring or something. I don't know how true that is. But people are saying that that's a possibility. So suddenly like three of the main players, I would say, around that area are at look like worse options, then yeah, everything points to the three premiums. But once they're back, I'm not sure it'll work that way. But so much of this game is down to your captains, and having that flexibility up front is important. And I think that was the main decisions we all went with. It was basically whether to have two or three premiums up top. I went with one to start, but with the money to get the second, and that's worked out even worse in my favour. So yeah, I can see where you're coming from. To answer his questions, though, I don't think Antonio, I can see what you're saying. I personally like keeping him, but I think getting rid is viable. Christensen, I don't see as a problem. Do you see as a problem?
No, I have just obviously, I mentioned earlier on that he is starting for Chelsea in the Champions League.
Yeah.
But rotation was baked in. We expected that. The reason we've got Christensen in our team is because he's playing for what I think is the best defence in the league. He's not only the best defence in the league, a defence that likes to stat pad and pass the ball sideways consistently for 90 minutes. There are going to be games where he doesn't play. I was surprised, but not shocked, that he was rotated at the weekend, having played three times for Denmark. But I'm still willing to keep him. I think he'll prove to be a good option. He does give them cover across the whole back line, even if Thiago Silva is going to be playing more frequently. So I think he will justify his price. I think he'll wash his face at 8.3, and so I do think it would be knee-jerk to take him out now, although I am a little bit worried that he's playing tonight. But that's the way things are going to go with City and Chelsea players, especially when you get budget ones like that.
I totally agree. I mean, to me, you look at their lineup tonight and you could argue a few spots, but I think that's their first choice 11 pretty much. I mean, I've got it in front of me on the screen so people will be able to see. I mean, obviously Ziyech there, that could be Havertz, but Lukaku, Mount, obviously Havertz has played a lot recently, you can understand that one. In the four across midfield, almost, if you include the wing-backs as midfielders, you've got Reece James, Kovacic, Jorginho, Alonso. Now, Kante, when he's fit, probably comes in and out for Kovacic, but that looks first choice to me. Alonso with Chilwell, we know this, he's talked a lot about it. I think Chilwell will maybe eventually come in, but Alonso's playing well enough so that he stays, so that's fine. And the back three, I mean, this is what we really wanted to find out when I was talking to you about Christensen in the pre-over, is what's going to happen around Champions League with Thiago Silva. Now, to me, I'm not sure we've 100% got that answer, because the international break was just prior to it happening, and we also had the whole Thiago Silva's not going to play because he's banned and all this drama, so I don't think we quite got the answer. But to me, what's positive is that is the strongest team you could probably put out tonight, outside maybe Havertz, who needed a rest, and Christensen's in it. So I've said this again on the overhaul thing before. It doesn't matter if the guy misses the odd game, if he's going to be getting 10 pointers every time he actually does play, because it's the equivalent of a terrible pick or someone more expensive picking up twos and fours and stuff, which, he's not always going to get 10 points, but he's pretty much always going to get 5 or 10. Do you know what I mean? It's The only one I'd say...
If you look...
Go on.
No, I was going to say, if you look at the... So there's only, from where we are right now, there's 10 minutes played, and he's already sand 20 passes. So
yeah, man.
It's almost like pouring salt into the wounds. Here's what you could have had at the weekend. But Chelsea's passing output was way down at the weekend, probably through a combination of the players that they started with, their first team. And now they've got the first team out, and it looks like they're dominating the ball again. So, yeah, I'm optimistic. I agree totally with what you say. I think at the moment it's a watch. If it ends up being the situation that Christensen continues to play every Champions League match and Thiago Silva is clearly the option for the league, and Christensen's only getting limited minutes, then we'll have to assess. Yeah. But I think it's too early just now.
Yeah, I agree. And the only other one I really would have gone for is Matip. You know, I was quite positive on Matip. I know a lot of people weren't, and I did like him. And it's easy to say now, Matip's the better option because he just got, I don't know if he got 10 points, but he certainly got one tier of passing. Maybe he got nine.
Nine, I think, yeah.
Right, okay, and the clean sheet. Again, it's like I said on the pre-oval, but I'd prefer Matip in terms of, I think Matip is first choice, more so than Christensen. It's just that I believe Chelsea will probably get more clean sheets. He's more nailed for passing, and although he has had injury problems in the past, Christensen, I think he's probably a little bit more over them. Whereas Matip, maybe he just goes on a season without getting injuries, but it would probably be the first time in about 8 or 9 years or something that he's actually done that. So yeah. I do feel like that'll break down. But, if Christensen, if it is a problem in the future and Matip is staying strong and playing, then it's an easy switch, isn't it? I think for just 0.1, I think that's, something we can book in. I think it's too early days. I personally would hold Christensen. He may not play this weekend as a result of playing Champions League. And then if Thiago Silva comes in, I think it'll be the next game after that where we'll decide if Christensen's not in the lineup again, then I think we've got a very, very, good indication that he's basically playing second fiddle to Thiago Silva, which I can't see personally. I think Christensen will come back in. If it's not this game, it will be the next game. And I think he's in. I mean, that's the strongest team there for me. So, I think he'll be back in. Next question then from Mark Sky FF. Some of these might be similar actually, so I'm just reading them for the first time. Good chance Christensen plays during the week in the Champions League. You got that right, he is. Which has made me worry he'll miss the next league game. Straight swap out if he misses the next game. Could be a straight swap for Matip. Do we think he's now? Now, we've just covered that, haven't we? For me, I think we leave. For Niall says it as well. Yeah, might not play the next one. I think he probably will, but even if he doesn't, we've got to wait one more, I think. I don't think you'd be so hasty. I think come the end of the season, Christensen is going to be right up there for the defenders. It doesn't matter how they come, if you're just going to leave him in, I can't see him not being in sort of the top 7 or 8 scoring defenders in the game. And, for 8.3 million, whereas the ones that probably will beat him will be the likes of Van Dijk, etc., or like 10.5 or whatever they are. 10.2, I think he is. John NUFC, obvious questions, I suppose, but if Webster is a long-term injury, is Duffy the best replacement, or should we look to someone else, i.e. Ben White, Vestergaard even mentions. He's also asked about Billy Gilmore, but we'll go for the Webster question, because I think that's going to have affected a lot of people. I think it's going to depend on your team, but you go ahead now. Let's just assume he's out for a while. Obviously, we haven't got the news. We're just going to assume he's out, yeah. Okay?
Okay, I know we're assuming he's out, but I think personally I'll be waiting for news. It might be that he's going to be out for 3, 4, 5 weeks, in which case I'll be looking at these options. But there is still over a fortnight, I think, until he passes that Monday night game where you need him. And so if you don't hear anything absolutely categorical this week from Potter, you could just wait and see the lineups that night and then replace him with Duffy or Gallagher if you wanted to. You'd miss one game this weekend, but the Gallagher's got Liverpool away, for example.
Yeah.
That would be quite tricky. Anyway, assessing the options, I like Duffy. I was talking Duffy up before before I just selected my team. I just felt a bit uncomfortable having two Brighton defenders. If Webster's going to be out for an extended period, then that probably, that underlines the case for Duffy a little bit more. It's cheaper as well. So I think Duffy's probably the standout. He gives you the coverage on that Monday night game. But a lot depends on your team. If you're on a 4 at the back or a 5 at the back, you could, if you're on a 4 at the back, you could move to Gallagher in the midfield. I thought Gallagher looked electric in the game against Spurs. He was all over the pitch. He did get tackles, I think, in the end. He can get tackles.
Yeah, I've got him in my B team, which, again, is doing really well as a result of probably picking, aside from Gray, the only midfielder who did anything. I was pretty big on him before overhaul. I should have maybe had him in my A team, but I thought I'll spend a little bit more money in that bracket because I can always come down. and I got him in the B team, and now I really want him in the A team, to be honest. I think he's just tailor-made for Sky, to be honest. Now, I don't believe he's going to be getting the goals all the time. I know he's got really good expected goal involvement. He's breaking late into the box. He seems to be on the end of everything. But I don't think we can suddenly just say he's going to hit like 10 goals in a season. Now, he could, but for me, it's just the fact that he's clearly a standout for Man of the Match. He's got those tackles to fall back on. It's a ridiculously cheap price, and he appears to be all on set pieces, so he's going to pick up the odd assist as well. Yeah, I just think it's a no-brainer, really. If you can get to Gallagher, the perfect thing is that he obviously covers that Brighton Palace game as well, doesn't he? So the fact that Webster's injured, you just go straight to him, and I don't think that's a problem. I am, however, with you on the fact that, for example, in my A team, just so annoyingly, I'm 0.1 short of actually going from Webster to Gallagher, which is no easy way for me to do it. So I will just say on this, as good as Gallagher is, the fixtures are bad, and I don't think it's like a panic you have to get him sort of player. It's not like a Lukaku or Ronaldo who's going to bang a hat-tricks and stuff. I feel like you can work out a plan to maybe bring him in at a later point, and you don't need to just completely smash your team to get him. But he's clearly going to be a decent option. And you're right, if Webster's back in, say, in time for that 2 weeks, or even if he was back in 3 weeks and you had other cover for that day, I don't really like removing a player, because I feel like Webster, you're probably going to want him back, because I still think he's the best 7 million defender. Do I really want to spend a transfer taking him out, then he misses three games, say, and then you bring someone else back in? Now, if the transfer you did, you know, the person you bought in got 3 weeks of 10 points, got 30 points, you could say, okay, fair enough, that's worth it. But then, if you were then to take that person out, again, this is all hypothetical, that'd still be two transfers. I'd still say that's borderline. And I can't see that ever happening. I can't see anyone at that price hitting 30 points, for example. So to me, if Webster is if he's very, very definite he is going to be back in 2-3 weeks or whatever, I'd just leave him in, personally. But if it's more of we'll have to see, it's a hamstring, these are like a 3 or 4 weeker, blah, 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 that's when I'd start to worry and just think, you know what, I'll get rid of him and then I'll readdress it later. That's the way I see it anyway.
Yeah, I think that's wise. Some of the other options he mentions in there, Markal, I think.
Yeah.
He looks more and more like he's going to be the first choice at wing back for Wolves.
He's also very injury prone as well, though. That's the problem.
He is another one who's very injury prone. So that's the thing. If you're moving Webster on to someone who's, for example, I'll give you a player, Kilman. Kilman had close to passing, close to tackles, got the clean sheet throughout the weekend. If you were to move Webster onto Kilman, you might find yourself in 2-3 weeks' time wanting to move Kilman back to Webster, and that's not going to be worth it. So, wait and see on the extent of Webster's injury first of all, and then I would also, if you get the chance to see a lineup, say, before you bring someone else in, then that'd be great too. The last thing you want to do is bring in, let's say you bring in Veltman as an alternative, or you want to bring in, you want to bring in
Cooper,
Cooper. There's a risk that you might end up moving back to Webster in the future anyway. So
yeah,
I don't see it as an absolute stick-on transfer unless he's out for say four or so weeks. Probably the threshold I'd go for.
I agree, yeah. And ultimately, I think you could probably get away with skipping that Brighton and Crystal Palace captain day if you really wanted to, because nearly everyone would either been on Webster originally and now hasn't got a plan, or maybe will bring Gallagher in for that game and captain him. And yeah, as much as I'd love to have Gallagher for that game and captain him, you know, he's still a 7.3 million midfielder. The chances are he probably doesn't do too much. You'd like to think that he's not going to bang three goals, for example, and completely destroy your rank. So, yeah. He's mentioned Ben White and Vestergaard. For me, Ben White's just, I know the fixtures are good, but he's not, he never actually showed the passing bonus at Brighton particularly. We always thought that he probably could get it because a lot of the Brighton defenders got it, and he would get it on occasion, but then I put that down to the fact that he was playing in midfield, and he is obviously a ball player, playing centre-back. Now, we know the Arsenal defenders did quite regularly get passing bonus, but so far this season, they've not really shown it. And when Ben White's been there, he's been close a few times, but I don't think he got it. Pretty sure I checked. Home to Norwich, I'd expect him to be getting passing bonus there, and he hasn't got it. So for me, with zero goal threat, Arsenal not the best for clean sheets and stuff, really. It's just the fact there's no pass. I know it's cheap, but I personally wouldn't go there for 7.8 million when there are the likes of Markel at 6.2 or Duffy at 6.6 and Cooper at 6.9. Even though they might not get as many clean sheets, Cooper's probably going to get passing versus Newcastle, for example, I'd have thought. And Vestergaard, I do like Vestergaard, but I think there was a he went off maybe even with a slight injury again. So it's just, I think they're rushing him back, to be honest, because the team's so bad. So I probably wouldn't look there yet. He's also mentioned Billy Gilmore, randomly dropped last week, but a good run of games to hit tiers. Do you keep faith and assume it was a rest? So the Gilmore gander, I'll just touch on this one quickly. He's made some comments since that he was trying to protect him for playing a lot of time in the international. I think also he made some comments about he's still young, he's still learning. They made like a bit of an error. Him and Williams, he called them both out, saying that they'd actually be at their main team clubs and still playing there. If they were the finished article, they're not, but that's a good thing. You know, he's trying to put a spin on it. So I think he's just trying to bring them down a peg, probably because they've come from these top tier clubs. They're quite young and enthusiastic, right? And then they come to Norwich and they probably think they are a bit of the Billy Big, literally the Billy Big Gilmore. Probably thinks it. And he's probably bringing them down a peg. But I think it's a little bit of protection, and the game was a tough one. So I personally think he'll be back in the team. They've still got the nice run. But obviously this week's going to tell us, right? If he's not in the lineup again this week, then yeah, then it's panic stations. But for me, you leave him in for now and you see. I assume you're probably the same on that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I still like him as an option a little bit. I was obviously a little bit nervous that he did play most of the minutes in the three games that Scotland had during the international break. And I was also slightly worried that Norwich seemed to have played a bit better at the weekend.
Well, I think they got battered, to be honest. I know they lost 1-0, only 1-0 in the end. But I feel like the stats all point to Arsenal having a much better game.
Arsenal had an immense amount of chances. But I'm just unsure. Maybe you'll say to the players, you know, he went out and gave Arsenal a game, give you a chance again. It just depends. And looking at the subs, they brought on, I think, three subs and he didn't get on the pitch. So maybe they just wanted to give him a full rest. That could just be the case. But yeah, it's a wait and see. If he's out of the team this week, and they get a result, then
yeah, I think if he's out,
because also remember that they've got Chelsea to come, and he won't be eligible for the Chelsea game.
Right, good point.
Say 4 weeks. So if he's not back in the team by then,
yeah,
that's another game he's going to miss. So yeah, it's definitely. I wouldn't make any rash transfers right now.
I'd watch
this game, maybe even the next game, and then make the judgment call.
Personally, for me, if he doesn't start at home to Watford, and there's no injury, for example, he's just sat on the bench, then for me, it's just, you're going to have to get rid. And I mean, Gallagher's just a little bit more, right? He's trying to find the money in Sky, sometimes hard, but he's clearly the standout in the cheap midfield price for me at the moment. So that's where I'd just look to go if that's the case. I think he'll be back, though, and I think he'll be fine. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he picked up passing and an assist versus Watford and even man of the match. I think he could do it. Maybe I'm optimistic because I'm having to play him in my FPL team this week, but I've got high hopes for him this week. Auto Recluse says, what are your thoughts on a mad punt of Webster out to a Newcastle player in view that their fixtures list isn't bad? Leeds may not be the best captaincy on the 17th. I have Brighton and Palace game covered already with Sanchez, so he doesn't need to worry about that game. So basically, is a Newcastle player worth bringing in for their good fixtures? And I'm assuming it'll be someone cheap around the Webster price.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure he's been watching the games though, conceding goals for fun. They do look quite leaky at the back. It depends who he's planning on bringing in. I assume if it's Webster, he'd be looking at a defender.
All
the games are better. I think what we talked about before, like we just talked about Gallagher, right? The great thing about Gallagher is that he's got so many avenues to getting points.
Mm.
He's taking shots on, he can get bonus from the shots side. He's making tackles. He's a goal threat. He's someone who can get man of the match. If you look at a Newcastle defender, I mean, if you look at the players that played against Manchester United, very few of them are goal threats. I know Mankio scored, but that's a nosebleed.
I'm going to assume that he's a good player, actually. I know him, that he's not looking at that, and he's actually looking at one of the better Newcastle players. So even if let's say we give him credit that he's going to be going for St Maximin, for example, at 7.9.
Okay.
Would you consider that? I mean, he's done all right so far. I'm looking at his points so far. So he got 5-pointer versus West Ham, just one assist, and a 2-pointer versus Villa. He then got goal man of the match, yellow card versus Southampton, and then he picked up another assist versus Man United. So he's returned in 3 of the 4 games. Obviously no bonus points to be heard of there, unless you count man of the match as a bonus. So do you consider him? I mean, the thing is, he's in an area right now at that midfield and around that 7.9 million mark where no one, aside from Gallagher at 7.3, is really putting their hand up.
I mean, he's their main option. I'm so unconvinced by Newcastle, and I think I know Leeds haven't had a great start to the season, but I still think that Rafinha is a far better captaincy pick than any of the Newcastle options on Friday. I'm happy, well, I won't be happy to be proved wrong, but you know, I could be proved wrong. And also, I think the Leeds defender is probably decent as well because they'll pick up passes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if it is Saint-Maximin, maybe there's a case for Willock. I think he's relatively cheap, somewhere in the sevens.
7.8, so only 0.1 cheaper than Saint-Maximin.
So really not much cheaper.
No.
Yeah. Again, yeah, you could go for Saint-Maximin. It's not someone who I'm looking at, but if budget's not an issue, if you were to go from Webster to Saint-Maximin and still have enough budget, say, to have flexibility in your front line, then you could do it. But I suppose you'd need to have quite a lot of budget available to make that move and still have that flexibility. So that'd be my concern. If it snookers you from making moves elsewhere, then no. But you know, if you need a 7.8 midfielder, 7.9 midfielder, and you fancy him, he's probably not as bad. You know, he can't be any worse than the other options who are doing very little there as well.
That's basically the thing that I keep coming back to. I haven't considered it. I wouldn't touch a Newcastle player at all. But having looked at it, the fixtures are good. Obviously, Saint-Maximin versus Leeds, I feel like he could do actually pretty good in that game. You know, he's clearly a standout man of the match. If they're going to have the space and they're going to be constantly breaking on each other, then, you know, that's tailor-made for Saint-Maximin. So I don't doubt he can be a good option on that day. I just think there's also a very realistic chance that despite Leeds being poor, just suddenly they batter Newcastle 4-1 because they just seem to capitulate as soon as they concede a goal. And then the fixtures are good, but keeping a Newcastle player long-term. And then also, I mean, Saint-Maximin is pretty injury-prone as well. I know I keep mentioning this, but he has spent a lot of time out since he's come. So I wouldn't be surprised if he picks up another one soon. So not for me either. I personally wouldn't do it. But I can see the appeal. Tom Sky FF says Webster to Duffy ? I don't think I need to overthink it. You've already given your seal of approval on that one, right?
Yep, absolutely. Next question.
I do feel that Duffy might be one of these players that we talked about that we keep thinking is going to come out of the team. He ends up playing 35 games in the season just because of all the other injuries, the way he's played so far. You know, maybe it won't be the case, but I think there's enough reason to bring him in now and suspect he stays in the team for quite a long time. He's just not done anything wrong. We keep expecting him, you know, he had a really poor few games or even a period for Brighton before we ended up going out on loan. And, you know, we've not seen that since he's come back. He's not had any mistakes. He got, 2 out of 4 clean sheets, I think, Brighton. He obviously scored goals as well. Yeah, I think you can bring him in. If you don't have cover for that day and you can't get to Gallagher, then Duffy's the obvious pick to me. FPL_SkyAddict, if transferring out Antonio, does it make sense to bring him in that quickly again, or could we wait till we need an Arsenal player and get him or someone else then maybe? So another, I think he's saying, if we transfer him out, obviously do we use it as part of a daisy chain? So we go to the Arsenal players for the, I think, when is it? I'm going to bring up the fixtures now.
18, does it
maybe? Yeah. It's really hard to see on the Sky website, actually. Just the way it produces the fixtures for us. Slow to update as well.
Yeah, it's the 18th. Monday 18th is the first Arsenal game against Palace at home.
Okay, so basically take Antonio out, bring someone else in for a few fixtures, ignore Antonio for a while, end up going to your Arsenal option on the 18th, and then after Arsenal have finished on the 22nd of October, going back to Antonio, who plays on the Sunday versus Spurs. I think that's fine. You've already talked about Antonio being a slight problem and maybe moving him out, so I think you can do that if you want to. I'm keeping him because I love him, but I see the appeal.
The only thing I would say is if you're going to take Antonio out, you're probably going to need Kane. So Sunday 17th of October, before that Arsenal game, West Ham are playing Everton. The only other game that day is Newcastle against Spurs. And then if you go to the game week prior to that, 3rd of October, Liverpool are playing Man City. So I can't see a great appeal to captain either side there. West Ham have got Brentford. It's a good game. Antonio could be captained. And the other game that you'd consider that day is Spurs at home to Villa. So I think it's, if you are going to bring Antonio back in, then you can captain him those days. But if you're going to wash your hands of him, you're probably going to have to bring in Kane. That's going to be something you have to think about from a budget perspective as well, because clearly there's a huge gap between those two players.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I'd really want Kane as captain for the Newcastle game on the 17th of October. I know Spurs haven't looked great at the moment if Son's still out, but it's Newcastle. We've seen already anytime they're playing. Anytime you need Newcastle to hold firm because you haven't got a captain, they'll just fall apart. Trust, take it from someone who didn't want Ronaldo to score this week. Everton, I suppose, obviously, if you've got the outstanding Demarai Gray, then you could captain him at Everton, home to West Ham. He could do absolutely fine, or Pickford. But it's going to come down to the individual. But yeah, I think Niall's advice there was top-notch, to be honest. In Your Dream says, Webster to Marcal. I don't even know how to say his name. Is it Marcel? Marcal? He had him in a few drafts over Christensen until the last minute. And then he's put Gallagher, White, Duffy. So we've kind of already tackled this. It's the same people we're all looking at. I think for me and Niall, we've already said Duffy and Gallagher are great. Marcal, I'm becoming more and more sold on him. For me personally, I can't get to Gallagher. And it's whether I go Duffy or Marcal. I think Wolves have got better fixtures longer term. So that's why it's tempting me. And he's cheaper. But I feel like Markel's tackle bonus is not as consistent as what Duffy's passing bonus will be. And Brighton, ultimately, although Wolves are looking very good in the stats and everything, generally get more clean sheets and are a more secure unit. So, yeah, Marcel's obviously got a decent attacking threat, seeing as though he's playing so far forward at those fullbacks. I think either of those two options are good. I think it's just going to depend on your team. If you don't have any coverage for the Brighton Palace game, then I'd edge towards Duffy. If you do, then I'd probably go Markel actually now. And just chance it.
Yeah, the only other thing I would say, if you're hoping that Markal is going to be a long term pick, Johnny is still injured, but he's probably going to come back at some point in the autumn.
I think that's going to be it's going to be ages, isn't it? He's done his knee twice, hasn't he? His ACL twice in a row.
He's done his knee twice, but I think the latest kind of update is that he's expected back sometime in November.
Right.
Which obviously may take a while to come back fully, but it's something else to think about. And they do have Ake Nouri as well, who can challenge that position. But it does look like Markel is nailed on just now. But I'd just caution against the fact that he is quite injury prone, and there's competition for a place there as well.
It feels like you might have to make another transfer if you go Markel, doesn't it? And I know the same could be said for Duffy, but that is the one thing that keeps holding me back, is it just feels like you will end up making another transfer. And this is what I really tried to cut out last season, is making transfers at these low prices between these players that have got quite low ceilings in general. Already I've got Webster injured and having to make a transfer, and then in my B team I bought Llorente and he got injured. So I'm already falling into the trap again of switching around these players where, it's not my fault if they're getting injured, I've got to do something about it. But switching from one injury-prone slight rotation risk to another injury-prone slight rotation risk doesn't fill me with joy right now. I know you could put Duffy in that category, but he just feels a lot more secure at the moment, to me anyway. I've got another question here from Prashant Sabidi. He says, is it good to transfer out Antonio for Bamford? Any other options you like Jimenez? I'll throw that over to you.
Thanks for that. If he's already got a captain for Friday, then I don't think I'd do it. I think if you're only going to be taking Antonio out to bring someone else in around his price, then I'm not convinced it's the right move. I would probably just hold him. I think, like I said earlier on, if you are able to move Antonio on to one of the premium forwards that you've not got, then I think there's an appeal to do that this week. Otherwise, I just don't see there. I'm not sure that Bamford is going to end up being a better choice for the next 6 weeks, say, than Antonio. Antonio's still got some good captaincy options. So, and if you've already got cover for that game on Friday, I don't think I'd be doing that. And the other option of Jimenez, I don't think he's actually scored in the league since he came back.
No.
I don't think I would do that either. Not until we've seen some semblance of form. And the thing is with Jimenez as well, even if he does score, he's the kind of player that gets one goal, one shot on target, and not often man of the match. So he's sometimes 7 points, which is fine, but he's not someone who tends to haul big. So that's the way I'd look at it. If you can get premiums, fair enough, take Antonio out. If you can't, then I think there's a case for holding them.
Yeah, I agree. And if you were going to go to Bamford, you probably should have done it versus Liverpool. I know he only got 2 points, but you do have got the extra points there as well, and obviously could have returned. Leeds fixtures are great. I just think if you've got Leeds coverage already, doubling up's not a bad idea, but then sometimes you cause yourself problems where you end up captaining, you know, end up captaining Bamford, and then Rafinha goes and outscores him. So actually, the transfer costs you points in the end, like in some way, because, you know, say Rafinha gets a brace or something. I know it can work the other way, but generally those kind of decisions usually backfire on me when I've already got a decent enough captain and I try to shoehorn in another captain, like almost for no reason. But the fixtures are great. I just think if you've got Antonio now, he missed the one game versus Man United, and then you keep him going. Because the thing with Antonio, it's not like it's just a surprise, you know, he's done well these last 2 weeks. I mean, he's been doing really well for West Ham for a long time now. Whenever he's on the pitch, his stats are through the roof, he does really good. Now, I know that was slightly exaggerated in the first 2 weeks because it was exceptional, but he's not going to suddenly just be a bad option for me. I know they've got Europe and everything else, and we can see how it works, but I still just think Antonio, you know, when he's on the pitch, when he's playing for West Ham, he's always got a real good chance of points. And I think he's going to be one of the best. I mean, he's going to be one of the best value strikers in the game at 8.8 million. You know, only injury is going to hold him back for me. The moment he gets injured, I might get rid of him, and then that'll be that. Because I don't want to go on that train of injuries back over and over. I'll probably just ignore him from that point. But until that happens, I can't see many strikers around that price beating him, to be honest. Or even close. I mean, like I say, I had the opinion that you could even get close to some of the top strikers in the game. I think that's all our questions. So, unless there's anything else you want to add, we can move on to sort of previewing the week if you want, Noel.
Yeah, so one final thing I would say about cheap strikers that you might want to think about for that Monday night game if you've got, you know, if you need to have a striking option or you don't fancy having Gallagher or Duffy. Edward might be an option. I reckon after his brace at the weekend, he's probably going to come into that team. And if that 20-minute cameo is anything to go by, then he's going to be pretty potent in front of goal for them. Obviously, they were playing against a 10-man, terrible Spurs outfit at the time. But one to watch, for sure.
Definitely. And yeah, you don't have to... I don't think you go down to that 7.7 million and then leave nothing in the bank to ever get away from it. I think that that price bracket, you've got Pukki, you've got Tony, you've got... I mean, Pukki comes into a lot of really good fixtures now as well. Tony, I think, although he's not set the world alight, I still think he's playing pretty well, and I don't doubt that he will get some goals. Obviously, he just takes a couple of penalties as well. So that bracket isn't the worst. It's just obviously taking that premium striker slot. But if we need to then in the future, you know, say Christensen is a problem, say Matip's now injured, and we want the likes of Diaz and Laporte, and we want Van Dijk, and we want whoever... You know, maybe we do have the two premium forwards and we look for the cheaper striker. And at the moment, between Pukki, Edouard and Tony, I mean, I know Edouard's only played a little bit, but he looks pretty good. And yeah, Palace look pretty good, don't they, Niall? That's just what I was saying, that they look like they might become a decent team. Gallagher suddenly looks an option. Zaha's back. You know, even Guita's keeping clean sheets. What is
it? I was going to say, I know. Listen, I don't think the clean sheets will last. But yeah, fair play to you. If you'd gone for Gaeta in goal, you probably would have had the budget to have Lukaku instead of Antonio.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think... I mean, the fixtures are still pretty bad, but I think Palace are definitely, you know, taking up, you could say, 2 or 3 years from last season already, and they've probably got some way to go yet. They're still learning the system. You know, the fixtures have been bad. You know, they've still got players to come back. Eze's still not quite back. And, you know, Elise as well is obviously a big signing for him. Yeah, I think it's exciting times for him. As long as they... I mean, there's a problem with these teams is they need to keep their first 11 fit. If Anderson or the other centre back Gueye gets injured, then, you know, they're in trouble all of again a sudden for me. But I think they're looking decent, and when their fixtures turn, they've got options now. I mean, it's really annoying that Zaha's a forward actually, because he's playing really well at the moment on penalties. It's 8.6 million. I feel like if Zaha was a midfielder at sort of 8.5 million or just below, then suddenly he could actually put his hand up in that area. But obviously it's not to be. Right, let's preview the next week then. We're going to go through any transfers or captains you've got planned, anything like that. Obviously Friday night is Newcastle versus Leeds. I'm assuming you've got Mr. Rafinha in your team and you're slapping the armband on him. Is there any transfers or anything else going on there?
Nothing else going on there. I mean, some people might want to bring in Cooper possibly for that game. Thought if they were going to do it, they probably could have done it on Sunday, but the fact that Llorente is injured as well maybe does bolster his credentials a bit. But I would still stand still on Webster until we hear more news. You might hear more before Friday. If you do, you might want to move on to him. If you don't like the look of Rafinha, or, you know, hopefully not for people, but some people might be carrying Bamford. If these rumours, which are unsubstantiated, I think at the moment, if they do come to pass that Bamford has picked up a knock, then you might need to find some alternative cover for that game. And if you've got Webster, you could move to Cooper. But I think Rafinha will be the most captained option.
Yeah, I'm inclined to do this. I'm just going to be on Rafinha. I'm not going to do anything else. Sure, I'd like Bamford. Sure, I think the defenders could get passing bonus. I mean, they've not looked solid at all, Leeds, defensively. And now with Llorente out, they're even more dodgy. So even if you bring Cooper in, I wouldn't even say a clean sheet's absolutely assured here. It's just they've got a nice little fixture run that is sustained. So I think bringing in an option for Leeds, you know, as long as you don't count on them too much for this week, is not particularly a bad option because they've just got such good fixtures. They'll probably pay you back over the 6 or 7 weeks. But yeah, Rafinha's captain for me. Probably won't make any transfers. My other team that's got Llorente injured and got no Leeds coverage, I'm probably just going to have to bring in Cooper now and just throw that transfer in the bin. So that's already going to be probably another waste again. But here we are. I've got to have some sort of coverage on that day, I feel like. Saturday the 18th of September, so we've got Wolves at home to Brentford, we've got Norwich at home to Watford, Man City at home to Southampton, Liverpool at home to Palace, Burnley at home to Arsenal, and Villa at home to Everton. Bringing anyone in, and who's your captain?
Not bringing anyone in. I think like 90% of the game I'll be having Salah captain.
Yeah, mine's just on Salah. Yeah,
just a plum home tie. You know, it's, Palace do look better, there's no doubt, but Salah still looks so sharp, and yeah, I don't think there'll be much variation on that day. There is maybe a case for a Manchester City player.
Yeah,
if we'd seen the lineups, and you know, those of us who've got Torres, you could maybe go there. But I still think that Salah, even if I could see the City lineups and see that Torres was starting, I think that Salah's got a good chance of getting a brace or more.
Yeah, I'd never captain Torres in a game like this because you just don't know he's going to play. Even if he does start, although he could do brilliantly and be a masterstroke, he could also come off on the 70th minute with a two-pointer because he's not going to get passing or tackles up front for Man City. And again, I don't like to captain midfielders, so I would never consider that, basically, unless I saw the lineup and really felt it. For me, it'd be Diaz. I've got Diaz sat in my team here. Now, given how good Man City's defensive stats are at the moment, I know Southampton have looked a little bit better of late, but you'd probably put Diaz down for 5 points right now, right? He's going to get passing tier, right? So I could go with that, or hopefully the 10-pointer to 20. So is Salah going to outscore 10 points, basically? So I don't think that's a complete given, because Palace do look pretty good. And obviously for Salah to match that, he's going to have to score and get shots bonus, which he could do. It's just the whole fear of, would a Salah get two or three, right? That's the thing that's in my mind. And everyone else will probably be on Salah. So I'm probably going to go Salah as well. But I do think there's a case for Diaz. I can't see any other options.
The case. No other options for me, but I can see the case for Diaz. I just think in these big home games for Salah, he's capable of getting more than one goal, shots, assists. It just, you know, you could end up falling on the wrong side of that quite easily. So while Diaz is probably a safe 10-pointer or 20-pointer, Salah could end up with a 30-odd.
Yeah, agreed. And although we say Diaz is safe, he has now played every game and then was Champions League, and it is, you know, on paper a fairly easy game for Man City. So is there, you know, could he just randomly bring John Stones into that game? Maybe. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there's always that chance, right? So, it's Salah for me. Sunday the 19th of September, we've got West Ham at home to Man United, where my captain will be Antonio. No, it won't. Brighton at home to Leicester, and Spurs at home to Chelsea. So I'll go first on this one, because I can only really captain a Chelsea defender unless I want to... who else have I got? No, that's it. I literally have to captain a Chelsea defender in this game, which doesn't make me feel good, unless I bring in Lukaku, which... I was always going to do the Lukaku, Calvert-Lewin to Lukaku move. I was actually going to do it the next week. So Chelsea play at home to Man City the week after, for example, and Everton are at home to Norwich, right? So I was going to have Calvert-Lewin at home to Norwich. May even be a consideration for captaining that one. And then I was going to move to Lukaku on the same day on the next week, which is game week 8. So it wasn't ideal. Calvert-Lewin was away to Man United. And I was just going to go straight in on Chelsea's great little fixture run and bring Lukaku, not get the extra game. But now, considering Calvert-Lewin's not there and I don't really fancy Richarlison, I'm just going to move it to Lukaku, I think. And then have a captain at least away to Spurs. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to have him as captain there. I think he could do fine. You know, I think everyone else will be on Ronaldo, so I'll have to hope that Lukaku can get close to Ronaldo in that one. And then, yeah, the kick in the teeth is obviously miss Everton at home to Norwich, where it'll be sod's law that Richarlison goes and scores three or four goals in that game now. But I don't, I mean, what would you do? Would you just captain a Chelsea defender and just not bring in any power forward for that? Or do you think Richarlison to Lukaku's the move?
Yeah, I think Richarlison to Lukaku's the right move. Spurs were pretty disappointing at the weekend. I know they were down 10 men for much of the game, but even when they had 11 men on the pitch, they were very poor. They've still got huge injury worries now that Tanganga's obviously suspended as well. Son, we don't have any major updates on his status yet, but there's a chance he's going to miss out again. And then the South American players, as far as I know, are still in isolation. There's not been any clear update on that. I don't know if you've heard anything, but there's a chance they might not make it back even for them.
All right, I wasn't aware of that. But I mean, Bergwijn's got an issue as well, right? He seems to do.
Bergwijn's got an issue. Dyer went off at the weekend, didn't he, with an injury?
He did, yeah.
So there's a few, more than a few, problems for Spurs. And the way that Chelsea are playing just now, if they are playing their full team again at the weekend, I think they could steamroller Spurs. I really do. And so if they're going to do that, then Lukaku's the man. I'm going to be bringing Lukaku in as well for Richarlison. I had the same plan. I had DCL. I'd kept enough budget, thankfully, to make a move from DCL up to Lukaku at any point. I was going to do it on the day that you earmarked as well, when DCL goes to Old Trafford, but I've not got any great confidence in Richarlison, and you're going to get an extra game out of Lukaku if you make the move now. So I think I'll make the move, pull the trigger, and hope that he can do something against Spurs.
Yeah.
But I think I'll probably captain Ronaldo, just because...
Yeah, I mean, I'd captain Ronaldo.
He scored again tonight. Yeah, he's looking like the main man, and I fully expect he'll continue to score and run against West Ham at the weekend.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I'm dreading it, to be honest. But I think when you look at Man United and Chelsea, yeah, Chelsea might just, you know, casually stroll out another 2-0. It's the classic Chelsea at the moment. But Man United, yeah, they might struggle against West Ham, but the same token, I'd back them for 4 or 5 goals over Chelsea. So they could easily just suddenly do that, right? So I'd go Ronaldo if I had the two, and I think that's what most people would have planned for. My only slight worry about bringing in Lukaku for this week is I know I get the extra game, but then, like I said, I missed the Everton game for Richarlison, which could end up backfiring. And also, it's the thing I mentioned before, bringing in another captain when I potentially have a decent captain. If I was to captain Rudiger in this game, or Christensen or someone, you know, could they actually do better than him? But then I think Rudiger's passing numbers were a little bit down, and one goal. I mean, I don't really like captain defenders away from home. You know, I know Chelsea are an absolute machine for clean sheets, but, you know, they will concede some goals eventually. So that feels like it could be painful. So I think I'm going to go for Lukaku in the end.
So update on the Spurs trio. I've just done a bit of searching. Lo Celso, Romero and Sanchez. They're only allowed to return to England on Saturday. So they'll be returning on Saturday and then potentially going straight into the team on Sunday.
Okay.
So that's obviously a big worry again for
not ideal at all. No. Okay. No. Well, that's convinced me. Because I think Romero's still quite new to the league, and obviously a little bit rash, I've heard as well, in terms of the way he approaches it. I feel like, yeah, Lukaku could have a field day there potentially. So yeah, I think that's sealed it for me. Yeah, I think that's it really. I think hopefully we've answered all your questions, guys. Is there anything else at all you want to add, Niall, or should we end it there?
I think we've done all we can, and hopefully we'll be back next week with smiles on our face rather than this.
Yeah. Rather than this turgid evil. Yeah, this game's evil, isn't it? It really can hurt you. Obviously, FPL, all the other fantasy games, they can hurt you. But with Sky, when you have these multiple captain days where there are huge hauls and huge swings, they're going to hurt you. And we talked about it pre-overhaul. We can't have all of these players. So this is, I mean, I've been hit day one here really hard. I'd be surprised if anyone gets hit by that disparity again with a red card to a brace. But there's going to be numerous weeks coming up where we're going to wish we had a Kane, a Lukaku, a Salah, because we've had to fix them around. I mean, I'm not going to have Salah versus Watford in my current plan, because just the way it's worked out, Salah could easily hit 2 or 3 goals in that game, and that's really going to hurt. And it's going to be the way. We've only got 3 forwards, right? So, yeah, we'll have to get used to it, I guess. Quick nod to the members area like we always do at the end, guys. A lot of the stats we obviously use to guide our predictions. The passing stats, which, again, I haven't brought them up this time, but they are in the background here. If I just move back, As you can see, Laporte is currently smashing it right at the top of the successful passes per 90. He's really piquing my interest, to be honest. If he keeps in the team, it's dirt cheap price, so I'll be looking at him as well. Obviously, we don't know that yet, so it'll be interesting to see what Man City do in the coming weeks. But yeah, get yourself in there, find those gems. And yeah, we shall see you on the next one, which will probably be the same time next week. Good luck for the game week, everyone.
Good luck.
Yeah, catch you later, guys. Cheers.